I am freshly back from India, and I want to open up some key spiritual truths today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Quality is more important than quantity.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I left my hotel in Mumbai, India, with my colleague, Dr. Rod Thompson, medical doctor, who also put together a 9.5-minute video of the India trip that I'm eager to make available to you as soon as since we have it in hand. We left the hotel in Mumbai about 1 in the afternoon, my time, so Eastern Standard Time, about 1 in the afternoon Sunday, and I arrived home, I guess about 4:30 in the afternoon Monday, so what's that, like 27 and a half hours of travel. And, of course, the day before we flew from Visakhapatnam to Mumbai. So I'm back. I'm here. I think my brain is working. We shall find out as we go on. Joey, Andrew, if you catch me giving out wrong phone numbers or websites or anything like that, a symptom of jet lag, just let me know. But if I'm correct, the number to call to be on the program is 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. And we're going to do a little survey in the midst of some things I want to open up from the Word and take your calls and interact with. Oh, thanks, Andrew. It's not 1:30 a.m. Trust me, I'm not entirely sure. There's a 10.5-hour time difference from India. And those of you who have traveled a lot and been jet-lagged, it's quite interesting. That's how you have to minister through it and function through it, but quite interesting. Anyway, I'm going to do a little survey on the broadcast today. You can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Some of you have been listening to me regularly for months, some for years. Some get to tune in one particular day of the week or have a favorite time to listen. So I've just got a question for you. It's purely out of curiosity. Is there one particular day of the week that you enjoy most with our programming? We varied our programming last week in terms of our thematic emphasis because I was in India and we did things a little differently and wanted to just talk to you from India as well, live from India. But normally Monday, that's our musings. That's catching up on what's happened over the weekend or anything that might be on my heart that particular day. Tuesday, that's our day of more teaching, opening up the scriptures, theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesday, moral, cultural focus. Thursday, that's our thoroughly Jewish focus. So Wednesday, the world. Thursday, our Jewish focus, and Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. So if you've been listening regularly, if you have one particular day of the week that you enjoy more than others, or is it the overall variety that you enjoy, just love to hear from you. I'm just curious to know what you're thinking. 866-34-TRUTH. My students, I found out over the years, teaching at leading ministry schools over the years, used to love what they called the jet lag classes. And that would be the day after I came back from an overseas trip. On rare occasions, the same day I came back, if it was the right timing, I'd come back and go right to teach. But otherwise, the day after coming back from an overseas trip. So your body clock is off, and sometimes with travel, everything's a little bit off. I found out they used to love what they called the jet lag classes because I would go off on a tangent and never come back. Now, the tangents are always good tangents. They enjoyed the tangents, but they got a kick out of it because it wasn't quite as systematic in thinking as normal. So I've actually got a few notes in front of me. I've got bright eyes looking right at me that can give me some input. So if we go on a tangent, we'll come right back. It'll be an intentional tangent, but hopefully this will be a sharp, focused, and enjoyable semi-jet lag show the day after returning from India. Can I thank you personally, those of you who prayed for me? Thank you so much. I really deeply appreciate that. And thank you to those who helped us with financial contributions as well. It was so encouraging to get those reports and to know that you're standing with us. So, and for all you who listened as we came your way live from India and were part of some special programming last week, thanks for being part of our history together. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to open up 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to take some of your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're doing a little survey in the midst of the broadcast. If you don't want to come on the air, you can just mention the day of the week that you prefer most. But we're doing a little survey since we are generally thematic here on The Line of Fire, generally covering certain things on certain days of the week and certain days with more flexibility. Wondering if there's any day of the week that you appreciate, enjoy more than others. And just to kick things off without going to the phones, our very first call. Well, did I lose track? There we go. Okay, our very first response over the phone was for a Friday. And online, we've just checking Ask Dr. Brown page and personal Facebook page, we've gotten a little of everything so far. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online again, Ask Dr. Brown on the Facebook page. Before I get into something from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's actually part of the content of the very first message that I brought while in India this last week. The Tim Tebow phenomenon continues to amaze me. I often look on several news sources a day, just checking to see what's going on in the world. And Drudge Report is one of the most common ones. Often you can see what kind of content Rush Limbaugh gets into over the course of a day by headlines on Drudge Report being a great news source that he uses. And anyway, there's always one feature story, then just headlines, very simply put together, headlines of all the other stories. Some of them are just sensationalistic, some major news-related stories. But headline, I guess after Sunday, I'm losing track of time because of the time differential in India. Whenever I looked at it, it was after the latest Tim Tebow, Denver Bronco, amazing, come-from-behind, last-minute victory. And that was the feature story. Unbelievable. Tebow, something like that. So more and more articles are being written about the phenomenon of this very committed Christian professional football player who publicly acknowledges Jesus and always thanks Jesus first for everything. He is clear to say that God doesn't care about who wins football games. This is simply his platform to be a witness and to be an example. He's in his early 20s. He is a virgin. He is generating money to help the poor. When he was at Florida State as a quarterback, because he could not get in funds because of his athletic status, they had to work out another way to do it within the program. Florida State. My profound apologies. We'll call that a jet lag error, okay? How's that? Well, he was playing college football and won the Heisman Trophy. He developed a program that initiated volunteerism within the school. The school worked together with him to develop a program that would be something that he could legally and ethically do while a college athlete. His last year, they generated something like $340,000 in charitable giving, I think, from among students, if I'm correct. But they got students into volunteering services to help people in need. And so he's been famous for this. And I would say, because his testimony is so strong, that he's all the more hated for his public Christian witness. If his testimony was not so strong, then he could talk about Jesus all day long and probably people wouldn't care. I saw something the other day about some mixed martial artist, an incredibly athletic guy that uses his skills to bash people in mixed martial arts, and he vocally gives thanks to Jesus Christ, which is a little interesting when it's mixed martial arts and you're slicing people's heads open with your elbow and things like that. But I saw a comment in a discussion, is he the another Tim Tebow? Well, the problem is, not to condemn this gentleman, but the problem is he's been living with a girlfriend for years, has kids out of wedlock. So, in other words, there's something different in the public example. But I found something very interesting. In fact, our younger daughter Meg sent it to me. And it was a quote from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, having one of the most phenomenal seasons that any team or any individual has had. And Aaron Rodgers is a committed Christian. And people would say, well, how would we know that? How would we know that he is a committed Christian if not for just reading about it? Because he's not very public with his faith. He's not very public with his witness. He is not going out of his way the way Tim Tebow is to make public profession of faith in Jesus. Well, I want to say a couple of things. Aaron Rodgers basically said, hey, I've been around in the league before Tim Tebow and lived a certain way, and I like what St. Francis of Assisi said, which is basically this: witness at all times, and when necessary, use words. So in other words, your whole life should be a testimony of Jesus. And he wasn't saying Tebow shouldn't be doing what he's doing, but just saying, I've adopted a different approach through the years. And there are people that praise Aaron Rodgers' approach and people that praise Tim Tebow's approach. Why can't it be both? Well, in other words, I would imagine, I could be wrong here, but I would imagine that with all the money Aaron Rodgers is making, with the fame he has, that he is using that to generate money for good causes. I would just imagine that, that he's giving maybe large amounts of his own money, or that he's involved as a face for maybe certain charitable or Christian causes. I would just imagine that to be the case. So I read it and thought, well, why not both? Why not have those that are very overt and public, and why not have those that do it in a more private way, as long as the life backs up the words? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, just doing a survey. If you've been listening regularly to The Line of Fire, is there one particular day of the week that you appreciate more than the other days, that you look forward to listening to? Is it Monday, where we can kind of go wherever we go, and maybe after the weekend gives you some moral sanity and spiritual clarity? Is it Tuesday, where we focus on opening up the scriptures, theology, apologetics, practical living? Is it Wednesday, when our focus is on the world, moral, cultural issues? Is it Thursday, with our Jewish Israel focus? Is it Friday? You've got questions, we've got answers. Just share your thoughts here or online. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says something very interesting. Paul is talking about building on the foundation of Jesus the Messiah. And he's talking to all believers, but it seems in particular he's talking to leaders. He's talking to people who are going to be building on this foundation in terms of, quote, church planting, in terms of raising up house churches, raising up believers in the Lord, making disciples, okay? And listen to what he says. Verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. That's why I say he's talking in particular to leaders, those who are going to grow congregations. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple? This is plural, corporate, speaking of the body, and that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, notice the end of verse 13, the fire will test what sort of work each one has done, which is literally what the Greek says. But based on that, some translate it, will test the quality of the work. And as an American living here in the United States, I know that we have the mentality of bigger is better. It's just the American mentality. We've got a big country. We've got a big dream. We've got a big mentality. We have a can-do mentality. We have an all things are possible kind of mentality. I remember some years ago talking to the father-in-law of a young man whose wife was divorcing him. They had met in Israel. He was from Russia. She was from America. They had met in Israel as believers. Then certain things happened in her life. She had a change of heart in many ways and divorced this man. That's the father of her kids. And I met him, I think we were in New York, and I met him, and we were talking a little, and of course, he was saddened by what had happened, and I was saddened as well, but I encouraged him, hey, it's not too late. They may have been in the process of filing for divorce. I don't know if the divorce was final, but even if it was, it's not too late. And I encouraged him to go for it and to go after God and to pursue her and to ask God to change him, any things in his life that needed to change him. And anyway, he was just kind of saddened about it, but almost like, hey, it happened, and what else are we going to do? And I was talking to his father-in-law. He said, yeah, he's Russian. Now, this is not universal for all Russians, of course, but he said he doesn't have our American can-do mentality. In other words, there's a certain optimism in the American spirit, which is not necessarily found the same way in other countries. But there's also something in America, which is this mentality, we can do it bigger, we can do it better, the bigger, the better. And often, you can put an emphasis, even in ministry, on quantity versus quality. I want to say plainly that quantity is more important than quality. We'll come back, take your calls, interact, stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just looking at some of the survey's responses so far. Oh, okay. So Andrew and Joey, you're weighing in. All right, Andrew's weighing in here. You're tracking the answers, man. You're not okay, but you can weigh in. You can weigh in as well. Someone responded on my personal Facebook page, and I think they missed the question. I'm just asking the question, if you listen regularly to the Line of Fire, is there one day of the week that you appreciate more than the others, or is it the variety from day to day that you like? Just interested to hear this. And someone posted how they really like Saturdays best, and they thought I'd just ask, which day of the week do you like best? Anyway, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, online, Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. And yes, I am back from India. And yes, I believe my mind is working clearly. I've got to do a night class tonight, so that should be interesting. So we shall see what happens in the last of my Jeremiah classes tonight. All right. I just made the point right before the break that quality is more important than quantity. Let me say plainly that quantity does matter. In other words, Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. Revelation 7 says that there'll be a multitude from every tongue, tribe, language, kindred, multitude that no one can number. And these people are all worshiping the Lord, having been saved by the blood of Jesus. And quantity means that there are more people who will be reached. In other words, the more people who are saved, then that means more family members of ours. That means more friends of ours. That means more people that we love. So quantity matters. I mean, if you had an antidote for sickness and you could reach 10 people with it, let's say a cure for cancer, you could reach 10 people with it or 10 million people with it, you want to reach 10 million. If you have the very eternal life that Jesus has given, and we can offer this to the world, then by all means, we want to reach the maximum number of people with the gift of eternal life, with the message of forgiveness. After all, if our sins have been paid for, if our neighbor's sins have been paid for, if the person across the world's sins have been paid for, but nobody tells them, how are they going to know? So quantity matters, but quality is more important than quantity. And if we put more of an emphasis on following the Jesus method, this was the first message that I gave to the pastors and leaders in India. If we put more emphasis on following the Jesus method and pouring more into individuals who could become high-quality disciples, people who could really exalt Jesus by life, by conduct, by word, people who could really multiply, then the 2 or the 5 or the 10 or the 20 that we really invest in could quickly become 200 or 2,000 or 200,000 or 2 million. Quantity matters because God loves the entire world. Quantity matters because Jesus shed his blood for the whole world. That's a lot of human beings. If we have 10 people in our congregation in a city of 10 million, that means that it's 10 million minus 10, that still need to be reached. If we had 10 million in our congregation, then that would have meant we've reached everyone in the city. I don't want to downplay the importance of quantity. Look, I'm on radio. Well, being here on radio, even though I'm talking to each of you individually, there may be a group listening at a given time, but for the most part, I'm talking to you one-on-one, sharing my heart with you, and we're talking one-on-one, right? But I'm trying to talk to as many of you as possible. If I could talk to 100 million people a day, if God found me worthy of that, or 10 million people a day or whatever, I would do that in a heartbeat. I live and burn to influence large numbers of people with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of God's ways. That's who God called me to be. That's what he's put in my heart. However, quality is more important than quantity. I would rather have a life-giving impact on a small number of people than have a superficial impact on a large number of people. I would rather produce 10 quality disciples in my lifetime than a million churchgoers who weren't true disciples. I was praying one time, though perhaps it was at a meeting, but I was prayerfully reflecting while listening to some people speak at a meeting, a conference. We were all interacting together. And this mental vision appeared to me very clearly, just something I saw in my mind's eye. I saw scales, you know, weights and balance, scales. And on the one side, it was packed to the brim with feathers. So much so that the feathers were right as high as they could go and falling off from the sides. And the scale barely moved at all. Then the other side, it's like a rock, but it's like a jewel, like gold or something like that. It's very little. On the other side, shoot, and the scales totally shifted. The one with that little nugget of gold, just whatever that thing was, that precious nugget, went down, and the other side went all the way up. And I felt the Lord say to me, churchgoers versus disciples. Real disciple is worth so much more than many, many, many superficial people who follow from a distance. So I want to encourage you, pouring into your family. Oh, how important is that? Pouring into close relationships. As leaders, pouring into those who can reproduce. How important is that? And I've watched now the ministry in India as they have poured into people and watched these people go out and pour into others. And they have touched so many, multiplied thousands of lives, but they've done it by building in a quality way. By the way, the video that my friend Dr. Rod Thompson produced when we were in India, and we'll let you know as soon as it's available and get it out as quickly and easily and inexpensively as we can. I think you'll just enjoy it. 9.5 minutes gives you a little picture of what's going on in the ministry we're involved with there in India. But he has on the video where I asked the pastors and leaders how many of you have been physically beaten for the gospel, physically attacked for the gospel, or threatened. And when I say threatened, I don't just mean someone calling them a name. I mean their lives were literally threatened. And I said, I think like a third of the hands went up. When I looked at the video, it looks like it could be a half. And depending on where the people were in terms of what location they're in, it could have been two-thirds or higher, by the way. All right. We've got a real neat offer for you this week. I'm trying to keep costs down as you get close to the holiday season, and there just may be all kinds of pressure towards the end of the year. But my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat, two books in one, they're only $18, some of the most wake-up, shake-up, stirring, encouraging, inspiring stuff you can read that I've produced, together with the entire week of teaching by Pat Mahoney on confronting culture, Congress, media with the gospel. That's a $25 series on a CD. All those together, and we'll pay the postage for just $25. So in effect, you get the course. With it, you get the book free, and we'll pay the postage. So great stuff that'll really stir you as we come to the end of the year and enable you to minister to others, our way of equipping you, and this way you can stand with us. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Jesus is the one we must focus on and reproduce disciples like him.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. I am freshly back from India. I hope you enjoyed the programming we did from India, live from India, then some specially pre-recorded programs, and then yesterday we re-aired my interview with Yesu Padam and Monica. Remember, if you missed any of those, they're all archived on our Line of Fire site. I will be launching very soon, certainly by the end of the year, or fresh for the beginning of the year, but could be any day, a blog that will kind of be the one place where you can find out everything. Latest article we wrote, interacting with comments from people, something going on the radio, update from when I'm on the road. It'll just be one place where you could go where hopefully we can link things together for you. And no, it's not called allaboutdrb.com, although you can see if that's, you know what it looks like? It looks like Allah, All About Dr. B, Allah. Have to come up with a better name, Joey. Boy, these guys, I'm back from India, and they're just a little bit, I guess they're excited to have me back. They're interacting a little bit more than normal. But anything you've missed with the shows, Line of Fire, they're archived, and the blog, hopefully you'll pull a lot of things together for you so we can just give you an idea of the breadth of what we're involved with and minister to you, which is the biggest thing, communicate what's on our heart to you. If you're just tuning in, we're doing a survey, just wondering if there is one day of the week, if you listen to the Line of Fire regularly, that you prefer above the other days. Is it Friday? You've got questions. We've got answers. Is it Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursdays? Is it Tuesday where we open up the Word and teach and talk about apologetics, practical living? Is it Wednesdays where we focus on the world? Monday, our musings, where we kind of catch up on what's happened in the world and share the things that are on our hearts? Just curious to get your input, 866-34-TRUTH, or is it the variety that you like? I'm reading comments coming in on the Facebook page. And interesting. Kind of covering lots of different things so far, so that's interesting to see. Okay, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for next Monday, December 19th. We will have our annual Christmas debate. Don't call in about it today. Next Monday, God willing, unless something of cataclysmic proportions happens. We're going to have our annual Christmas debate. Should followers of Jesus celebrate Christmas? Is this a don't call? I'm going to be saying some things, but don't pick up the phone to call. Is this a time of the year to glorify Jesus? He came into the world. We don't know when he was born, but this is a great time to celebrate his coming into the world, and it's joy to the world. And think of the great gospel choruses that we sing at this time of the year, and how it's even a great time to gather the family around these wonderful themes of Jesus coming into the world. Or is this about as much as we can get in the world's ways and pagan customs, from the tree to all the other stuff, to forget the Santa Claus things, but just bad thing, good thing? We'll talk about it. Should everyone celebrate Hanukkah? Is it different for Jewish believers and Gentile believers? We'll talk about that next week. Also, next Tuesday for one of the hours, we are planning to have Dr. Craig Keener on, one of the world's foremost New Testament scholars, author most recently of an amazing two-volume work called Miracles. And Craig is going to be with us hopefully for one entire hour next week as well. That'll be on Tuesday, the day after our Christmas debate. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, Leonard Ravenhill once made a point to me. Paul talks about how we build on the foundation of Jesus. How we build on the foundation of Jesus. And Paul talks about the fire will test the quality of the work. He's not saying it's going to test our salvation, but it's going to test the quality of the work that we have built on the foundation of Jesus. And I believe in particular it's talking to those who are builders in terms of ministry builders, building congregations, building on that foundation which has been laid. But it can apply with general truths to all of us as believers. And Paul said that if it is wood, hay, and stubble, it'll go up in the fire immediately. It'll be burned. The person himself will be saved, but what he's done will be lost. If it's gold, silver, or precious stones, it will remain through the test of the fire. What's the difference? What's the difference? Stay with us. We'll take it up.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just got a note, just got an email a moment ago from Craig Keener, and I'm kind of blown away. Craig will be with me for 2 full hours, God willing, a week from today, as we talk about his new book, Miracles, amazing 2-volume study. I can't remember seeing a book more highly praised by academics than his book on miracles, and he wants to go for 2 hours. He's a massively busy guy. Here, his Acts commentary that he's worked on a number of years and is now little by little getting ready to be released. His commentary on the book of Acts is 6,000 pages long. You know how long it takes to do the research for that kind of thing and to write that kind of thing? And he just keeps putting out volume after volume after volume like that, and involved in meticulous scholarship and a great heart for the Lord and practical ministry. But he's going to be with us for 2 hours next week. That is awesome. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay. Wood, hay, stubble versus gold, silver, precious stones. Leonard Ravenhill made a very interesting comment to me one time. We're talking about 1 Corinthians 3. He commented to me that wood, hay, and stubble are found in abundance. They're over, they're on the surface of the ground, right? You don't have to dig for them. They're not buried. They're on the surface of the ground. And they are available in abundance. You can find wood, hay, stubble anywhere. Whereas gold, silver, precious stones, you have to dig. It takes time to find them. They are hidden under the surface. That means that a lot of what we do that seems to be so popular and so effective on the surface of things may not really be that deep after all. Let me explain. I rejoice with quality as long, I rejoice with quantity as long as it's based on quality. Let me say it again. I rejoice in quantity, in large numbers, as long as it is based on quality. But if you have to sacrifice quality, we're talking spiritually today. I'm not talking about mass production of goods and things like that in the business world, although the same principles apply. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about what really matters. I'm talking about what we need to emphasize as followers of Jesus and as leaders in the body. Quality is more important than quantity. Some years ago, I knew the Lord had put things in my heart to get out to the body of Christ, to get out to followers of Jesus, the Messiah, on a national level. And I had some exposure to do it, but it was much more limited than what was in my heart. This was years back. Now I don't go around comparing myself to others and, well, this one has a church of this amount, this one's written this many books, this one's on this many radio stations, so this one's preached in this many countries, so this one's on this TV show. What, we each have our race to run. We each have our race to run. And again, you can't compare because we each have different assignments from the Lord and different things he's given us to do. And what he's gonna evaluate us for on the day we stand before him is not how much we did. If we were scrambling around running like chickens with our heads cut off but not doing what he called us to do, what's the use of that? If we were running around like chickens with our heads cut off and producing so much but none of it lasted 24 hours, what's the use of that? If he said labor here and we went and labored hard somewhere else, that was disobedience. So when the Lord evaluates us, he's not going to evaluate us based on comparing us to other people. I mean, you just think in sports. If one guy has one assignment, another guy has another assignment, you don't evaluate an offensive tackle in football based on how he throws the ball. You don't evaluate a place kicker based on how fast he can run the 100-yard dash. All right, so each one has their specific assignment, and we each do in the body. So I'm not in the habit of comparing myself to others because we each have our assignment, and the more the Lord can use someone else, that's the kingdom. That's our team. Awesome. That's wonderful. If I've written 20 books and they've sold a certain amount and somebody writes their first book and it's a national bestseller, if the Lord was in that, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I'm going to have some heretical message that I'm going to grieve over. I have colleagues of mine. I expect them to go way beyond what I've done. I have students of mine. I expect them to go way beyond what I've done. That should give us cause for rejoicing, not for, well, you know, then God can never use us. So I was burdened at this one particular time because I felt the Lord had put things in my heart that he wanted to get out to a larger audience. It may have been late 80s, early 90s, if I remember. And I was staying with some friends, and they had a Christian magazine at their house, and I was flipping through it. And it had pictures of different people and what they were doing and conferences and speaking here and there, and they had a certain amount of prominence. Now, God knows my goal is not to get my picture in Christian magazine. And if that is your goal, friend, set your goal a little higher, all right? So I'm flipping through this, all right? And some of the stuff is gaudy. Some of the stuff, just the messages were, in terms of things I don't believe were scriptural emphases. But as I'm looking at this thing, I'm struck by the fact that some of these people who, in my view, weren't even preaching a solid biblical message, seem to have a lot more prominence. Now, I want to say this again. I was not jealous of it. That could happen. I'm a human being. I could think a carnal thought, have a carnal emotion. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that that was not what was in me. It was like, well, they have this platform, and their message is kind of lightweight. And you've given me a certain message, and I know it's supposed to impact people, and the door is not open to get out as widely as it's supposed to. And as I prayed, I felt the Lord speak something to me. One was a reminder that what he's given me will get out at the right time. If I walk worthy of the Lord, then whatever he's put in my heart to get out, he will help me to get that message out at the right time to the right audience and have the right impact if I walk worthy. But the other thing he said to me was a question. How many are making a lasting impact? When I was in India, the first message, I went through 4 points. Number one, quality is more important than quantity. Number two, build to last. Number three, build deep relationships with other believers. And I was ministering to leaders and saying this. And number four, the emphasis must be on who you are versus what you do. God's looking more at who I am versus what I do, which is often a very sobering thought. And I wanted to encourage these brothers and sisters in India that if they built something in the Lord, they wanted to build something that would last. I mean, can you imagine putting massive effort, energy into something that you know within a year of you doing it won't even exist anymore because it didn't have quality? Because it didn't have longevity, because it wasn't built on the right foundations, because it wasn't built in such a way that could endure tests and trials and difficulties, because there was a real superficiality to what was done. I wonder, to those of us who are involved in church ministry and leadership, if God shook what we were doing and look for disciples, how many disciples would he find? By that I mean truly committed followers of Jesus who will follow even in rough and difficult situations, who will not be disloyal, who will stand fast even after the tests and trials pass. They will remain. They may get shaken momentarily, but they will remain. They will persevere. They're not like the ones who's in the parable of Jesus would be like those on rocky soil, that the seed is planted on rocky soil and there's no root. Oh, there's a great initial response, but there's no root. So when trial and testing comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Or like the ones, like seeds planted and thorny ground. So the plants grow, but among thorns, I should say, not thorny ground, among thorns. So as the plants grow, the thorns, the cares and the loves and the interests of this world choke the word and it brings forth no fruit to perfection. I'm talking about those who are planted on good ground in the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke 8, and those who in doing so will endure, will last. We need to remember, in the midst of the push of the American mentality that bigger is better, in the midst of the push to be productive, trust me, it's something I relate to. I'm constantly producing. I get home at night and maybe a little tired, and talk to Nancy some of that. I'm just going to just going to chill for a little while, just going to rest, and you watch a few minutes of sports or something. The next thing I'm writing another article, man, charged with this, moved on to do this. And always with the sense of having to get to more people and touch more lives and be more effective. And that can be a trap for any of us because we can mistake action with fruit bearing. We can mistake activity for growing in Jesus. We can mistake being busy for being effective. So quality is more important than quantity. Whatever you do for the Lord, speaking just to individuals, not pastors, leaders in particular, individuals, whatever you do, you want this to last. So when it's tested by the fire on that day, it'll stand strong. So what are the qualities that cause something to last? What are the qualities that cause it to be burned up?
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Just looking at some of the responses on our Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook to my question about which day of the week, in terms of our daily programming on The Line of Fire, you appreciate the most. If you want to weigh in with your comment, just doing this offline for the most part, if you want to weigh in with your comment on which day of the week of programming you appreciate most on The Line of Fire, if it's the variety you appreciate, if you listen regularly, that is, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. What distinguishes wood, hay, and stubble from gold, silver, precious stone, spiritually speaking, 1 Corinthians 3? What distinguishes something that will last from something that will go up in the fire? Just some things to reflect on. Why do I do what I do? In other words, when the Lord tests the work, we're not talking about testing our salvation. That's an entire separate issue, our walk with the Lord. And as I understand Scripture, God's grace keeps us to the end. Unless we refuse that grace, deny him, refuse to repent, refuse to turn from sin, persist in disobedience, rebellion, and denying of the Lord. But that, again, is a separate subject entirely. The question is this. If my works are being tested, this is for reward. We will be rewarded for our works. Scripture's clear on that. The parables of Jesus are clear on that, aren't they? The talents, the 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent, and what people produced with the funds that were given to them by the master, with the gifts that were given to them by the master, what they produced with it, we'll be judged by that. Not our salvation, but our reward. Yes, there are varying rewards in the world to come. Whether you just want to make that a millennial kingdom thing, you want to make that an eternal thing, the parables of Jesus and other verses clearly point to the fact that there will be an evaluation for what we have done in the body. 2 Corinthians 5 speaks of that as well. Romans 14 says that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Does that mean that we'll all appear before him to be condemned or saved, or does it mean as believers we'll appear before him and have our works evaluated? What motivates me to do what I do? Why do I do what I do? I believe that's going to be something that distinguishes between wood, hay, and stubble and gold, silver, precious stones. In other words, am I doing what I do to be seen by people? Am I doing what I do for personal pride? Am I doing what I do out of selfish ambition? Am I doing what I do to make my name known? You can go down the list. Am I doing what I do so as to hurt someone else, try to compete with someone else? Whatever the carnal motivation is, that's certainly wood, hay, stubble. That's certainly something that's going to go up in the flames. Whereas if I do what I do to honor the Lord and to see people touched and to see his name exalted and out of obedience, that's going to endure. Now, we're not perfect. In other words, it's possible that there was a momentary thought that someone had of competition or pride or carnality, but that's not who they are. That's not why they do what they do. So that's a distinguishing mark. What motivates me? What moves me? Why do I do what I do? Another thing is there purity in what we do? In other words, you have a specific situation with say this gentleman, Jerry Sandusky from Penn State University, and he's alleged to have been a pedophile. He had the Second Mile program to help kids in need and in trouble. And certainly there's, if the allegations are true, then a lot of what he did was impure. Are we doing what we're doing out of purity? Are we doing what we're doing based on truths of God's word? Or are we creating new things and fictitious things and so on and so forth? Are we creating our own doctrines and beliefs? The list goes on. The question is, the life we're living, what we're producing, how we're following Jesus, is it going to all go up in the fire in terms of reward on that day, or will it withstand the test, withstand the fire, and endure through the ages? What's the use of all our running around in circles and being so busy if it's not going to endure, if it's going to go up in smoke when this world ends, or even before? Just something to think about. Something to think about, as many of us do a lot of reflecting at the end of the year. It is something to think about. All right, real quick question. Roger in Queens, our time is short, but wanted to grab your question while I had a minute.
And good afternoon.
Hey.
Just a quick comment.
Go ahead.
But I have a question after that.
Well, tell you what, why don't you do the question first, just because we're real short on time, all right? Unless you want to hang around into the next hour, past the 3 o'clock time?
I'll talk real quick.
All right.
The comment is I do my best. I pray to God to give me the strength to do my best, and then I trust in him that that my best is going to be good enough. But the second thing, the question, we all, we read the Bible and we hear about the prodigal son. I truly believe that God in his mercy wants to bring everybody to him. And I think that the ultimate prodigal son is Lucifer himself. That in the end, when everything is said and done, God in his mercy will forgive him if he asks for forgiveness.
Yeah, Roger, I appreciate the sentiment. I certainly do. And God has redeemed each of us from wickedness and sinfulness, and has had mercy on us every day of our lives as believers. But I'm sorry to say, Roger, that Scripture is very clear that that's not the case, that Satan will be punished day and night forever. Read Revelation 13 right up through, Revelation 20. You'll see that the specific description of the lake of fire is a place of torment forever for Satan. At the very least, Satan and those with him. Matthew 25 says that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. So I appreciate the sentiment, but Scripture is against it. Okay, just a reminder, we've got a terrific resource offer this week. A 6-hour class by my friend and colleague, Pat Mahoney. Man, it was a blast on confronting culture, Congress, media with the gospel. I'm talking about a blast. On one CD, it's only $25. If you order it this week, you also get free my 2 books in one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? And It's Time to Rock the Boat. Get them all together, $25, postage paid. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, all of us are active. All of us are serving. All of us are doing. But what is the quality of our work? Will the things that we do today last tomorrow, last forever? If not, let's reevaluate who we are and what we do. I am freshly back from India, and I want to open up some key spiritual truths today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Quality is more important than quantity.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've got one successful hour of broadcasting under our belts today after just returning from India yesterday. The last leg of the journey was 28 hours. When I say leg, I mean we were in one hotel in Mumbai and Bombay for a little over a day and then did our final travel time home from there, about 28 hours. Got back home, went out to dinner with Nancy, ran one errand and crashed. I mean, I hadn't slept that much for several days, and I went almost 24 hours, just about, which is, I don't remember the last time that happened. But I'm thinking clearly, Michael Brown got the name right. Line of Fire is the broadcast. Yeah, everything seems to be working and in gear. We are live back in our studios in a hidden location somewhere outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. All right, I'm going to be getting into some things from 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'll share what I covered in the first hour and then get into some new things in the second hour with all of you here as you join in from different parts of the country. But we're doing a little survey. I'm looking at a lot of responses online and then some calls that we didn't take, but just noting the responses. Is there a particular day of the week of broadcasting here on the Line of Fire that you prefer to other days? If you're a regular listener, just curious, do you prefer Mondays where we catch up maybe on what's happened over the weekend or get into you never quite know what we'll get into on a Monday, or musings on Monday or Tuesday, more of our teaching focus, Bible, theology, apologetics, practical living, Wednesdays, the world, moral cultural issues that we focus on, Thursdays, thoroughly Jewish Thursdays, or Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers, or is it the variety you prefer? Just curious to get some of your responses and for further input on what we do. Again, 866-34-TRUTH. Quality is more important than quantity. It's important for us to be reminded of that because we often put such an emphasis on quantity here in America. We often put such an emphasis on bigger and better and stronger and more and more and more. We judge things by it. We judge the success of a ministry by how many people, the success of a pastor, how many people do you have in your church? And look, it matters to me because I want to reach people. Jesus died for everybody. If we're only reaching a certain amount of people, that means there are many other people we're not reaching, we're not touching. The book of Acts records 3,000 Jewish people coming to faith on the day of Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Shavuot, biblical feast of Shavuot, I should say, Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. And then it says a few chapters later that the numbers grew to 5,000. And by the time you get to Acts 21, it mentions myriads, tens of thousands of Jews who were following Jesus and were zealous for the Torah, living in Jerusalem. So numbers matter if they are numbers of quantity, but if they are only numbers, in other words, if they are skin deep, what's the use of it? What's the use of assembling a tremendous army if no one in the army can fight? What's the use of getting a legion of supporters if they're going to turn on you in a moment? What's the use of a crowd cheering you as king one day and next day jeering you and crucify you? What's the use of that? So I want to say again that quantity does matter on a certain level. But much, much more important in the sight of God and much, much more important in terms of a legacy is quality. So we're going to open this up. I want to share some other things I think will be helpful, enlightening, and encouraging for you. Oh, next Monday, special broadcast. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me ask you a question. You have a choice. You have a choice of working hard for many, many years and putting aside a little extra money every year into a retirement account and paying your bills and being able to tithe or give whatever system you live by, give generously to the work of the Lord to help those in need. And at the end of your life, it's amounted to, oh, a few hundred thousand dollars that you've given away. Let's say 100,000. You've given away $100,000 and you've got a few hundred thousand dollars in a retirement account. Let's just say you've been able to do that, right? Now, it's very, very big money to some of you. To others, it's not a lot of money. Would you rather do that little by little, work hard, never really strike it rich, but you're able to, here, just look at it like this. Let's just say you had an income of $75,000 in a year. Some of you I'm talking to, that's a ton of money. Some of you I'm talking to, that's custodian's money almost somewhere. But let's just say you had an annual income of that. All right, tell you what, we'll reduce it. It was $50,000. And let's say you tithed off that, so you gave $5,000 a year to the work of the Lord, right? We're talking about quality being more important than quantity. Although quantity matters, quality is more important. So you put aside $5,000 a year. Let's say you did it for 50 years. That's $250,000. All right? It's a lot of money that you've given to the work of the Lord. Let's say you put that same amount aside for some retirement fund. Okay. Would you rather have that or tomorrow inherit, not inherit, you someone drops a lotto ticket on your front doorstep and says, this is for you. You didn't buy it, okay? And then you find out, when you look at it, that you just hit the Powerball, whatever these things are, and you won $50 million. And 6 months later, it would be all gone, and you'd have nothing to show for it. Which would you rather have? Do you get my point? That sometimes just steady, staying with it, honoring the Lord, doing what's right, building deep, not just building more and more and more, building deep, it makes a whole lot more sense than just, got to produce, got to do more, mentality that many of us have, or judging success by numbers. Are you successful if you have lots and lots of kids and all the kids rebel against you and walk away from the Lord? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Chuck from Woodbridge, New Jersey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, as far as quality goes, you know, when we look at Moses, I would say you'd say he was quality. If you looked at Abraham, you'd say he was quality. But he didn't get, either one of them did not get there right away. It took Moses, how old was he? 80 years old before he was able to lead the children. God, get him to the place where he could lead them out of Egypt.
Ah.
Abraham, the same thing. When God produced in Abraham, you know, the faith that God produced. It's just like it says, faith comes. And how does it come? It comes by hearing the word of God. And as when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I walked for 40 years like Moses in a wilderness because I didn't understand what was in me. And then I went one day and I said, I got to go find some books because what am I missing? And the thing, I only got one verse out of that book, but it pointed to me that what I needed. It says, if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of this body, you shall have life. Now, I know God produced that life in me with Christ, but it didn't become the reality that he wanted it to be until my flesh began to be put to death. And is it still put to death?
Yeah.
No, because I carried his body of sin, what Paul said. Who'll deliver me from this body of sin?
Yeah. Let me just say this, Chuck. Yeah, let me just say this. Amen to what you're saying, and obviously we don't have to wait decades to become obedient, but there are many things that we either take for granted, we get casual with, or we don't understand in terms of how to overcome or how to live in greater purity or devotion. But I just want to focus on the first thing that you said, that it ties in with our American mentality of everything has to be now. I want it now. And with that, it does cheapen the issue of quality. In other words, quality is not produced overnight. Sometimes you can mass produce in terms of quantity, but the reason that certain violins, say, are so extraordinarily expensive, or certain things you can buy, whatever else they are so extraordinarily expensive, it's because the things that make it up, the ingredients of it, all cost money, or it takes a while to produce because it's handcrafted, it's produced a certain way. And we have what I've often referred to in America as the microwave mentality. We want instant results with no or little preparation. We want it in the ministry. We want it in church life. We just want someone to lay hands on us and give it to us, you know? Whereas the fact is, you know, you can't become 30 without going through your 20s. I have gray hair now, and I trust that with that gray hair is wisdom that I have now that I didn't have in my 20s or 30s or even 40s, and hopefully when I'm in my 60s, I'll have wisdom then that I didn't have in my 50s. Well, does that mean that if you dye your hair gray, you'll get wisdom? I mean, that's almost the mindset that we have. Press a button and get results, as opposed to walk with the Lord. On the one hand, salvation is a free gift. He just gives it. We don't earn it and have to work towards receiving it. But having received it, we now must live these things out one day at a time. And you know, the other thing, Chuck, that I think about often in our society, we put so much emphasis on youth, on youthfulness in terms of beauty, in terms of health, in terms of vitality, that we give less and less honor to those who are more experienced, to those who are wiser. And if you want the ultimate disaster, put like a 25-year-old in the White House. You know, you put some young whippersnapper in charge of a large family. Put someone without experience into an important position of leadership, and you'll have a disaster. So yes, some things never change, and quality takes time. Thanks for weighing in, Chuck. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. My first teaching when I was in India, the very first session with pastors and leaders, so I read to them from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the fire of God will test the quality of the work, literally in Greek, what sort of work it is. On the day that we stand before God to be judged, not for our salvation, but for reward or lack thereof for our works, we are going to give account to God one day as believers. Say, no. The unsaved will, no. As believers, the Word of God makes it clear. Read 2 Corinthians 5, read Romans 14, and then think about the parables of Jesus where things are given to someone, and to whom much is given, much is required. We are going to give account to God. We are. You say, well, then I'm not living well enough to be. No, I didn't say as to our salvation. Either we're saved or we're lost. When we stand before God as saved people, we will give account. I say either we're saved or lost. When we die, we're either with the Lord or not, okay? As believers, we'll give account. As leaders, we will give account. It's really something sobering to think about. Jesus said, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. It means to me that many times the people in this world who seem to be the most effective, the most influential, might not be at all. Perhaps they were given amazing gifts from God and are operating at a fraction of what God gave them. Perhaps they were given amazing gifts from God, but what they do to be seen by people. Perhaps they were given amazing gifts from God to reach all kinds of audiences, and yet they brought their own message instead of the Lord's message. Or perhaps they were called to do something else entirely, and all the fame that they have is due to carnal promotion. In other words, things may not always be as they seem to be. Jesus said in Luke 16, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. He doesn't mean that everything that's highly esteemed among men is always an abomination in the sight of God, but many things that we think are so great are not so great. God will judge the quality of the work, and what we do, we want to last forever. Okay. Please put this on your calendars. This coming Thursday, so day after tomorrow, I'll be interviewing my friend Jeff Cohen, a Messianic Jewish leader, part of one of the largest, fastest-growing congregations in America, with a great heart for Jewish evangelism. He's going to share his testimony and also some effective tools that he has for Jewish evangelism that he's seen proven over the years. That's this coming Thursday. Then this coming Monday, prepare, because this show is all about your calls. This coming Monday, December 19th, our annual Christmas debate, should believers celebrate Christmas or not? All right, so mark that down. It's all going to be caller-based show that day. And then a week from today, a week from Tuesday, Dr. Craig Keener will be with us the entire hour talking about his new amazing book called Miracles.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, a quick word to all of our friends in Denver. As the clock is ticking now with, what, oh, 3.5 weeks to the event, January 7th, all day with Pastor Gino at Calvary Chapel in Denver. Pastors and leaders only. So if you're a ministry leader, a pastor, or a spouse thereof, we invite you to our special pastor's luncheon. That'll be 11 to 12:30. That'll be Saturday, January 7th. I'm going to talk about our religious freedoms under fire. I'm going to be talking about Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace. Very, very important day. Please come. A free luncheon. But call, if you're able to come, please call the church at 303-933-8733. I love all those threes. 303-933-8733 to say that you're coming. All right, we need a number that'll help us. And then 1 to 4 in the afternoon, most pressing issues in the culture today and keys to a Jesus revolution. Again, it'll be an eye-opening seminar, free, open to the public. And then the Saturday night service at 6, we'll be talking about God's unfinished business with Israel. So again, all of you are welcome to come in Denver. If you have any questions, call the church. 303-933-8733. That's Pastor Gino at Calvary Chapel. The number here on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I emphasized in India. I got to the meeting one night. Again, for those just tuning in, back live from India here in North Carolina. I was on my way to the second night of services. So we did like 2-day sessions every day and then a night meeting. And the last day of the 3 days, we also had a water baptism and went to this mountain that Yesupalam's ministry has purchased from the government. The price has gone up massively, massively since when they bought it. The government is pressing to try to get it back, but they bought one half of a mountain, not the upper half. Okay, but a side of a mountain. And if you look over across from them is a Hindu temple on a high mountain, but this mountain is higher. They're going to have a prayer tower on the top and then a hospital. And the hospital will have sufficient beds so that it will be a medical training center for others. And they've got a vision for an old folks home and other things there as well. Anyway, I show up for the meeting on the second night, and I was tired. Because, you know, I'd slept between meetings, get up early in the morning and or go back to sleep. But I just didn't get on a normal India schedule. And the goal is not to get on a totally normal schedule because it's going to be back in a few days here in the States. I show up at the meeting and I just didn't have a message on my heart. I was tired. I didn't have a message on my heart. I'd preached on prayer, the importance of asking, seeking, knocking the night before. And I thought maybe I should just go to Luke 18 and the need to persevere in prayer. Maybe that's the message for tonight, but I still didn't have something. Well, I'm there on the platform during the, came in towards the end of the worship, the Indian, the Telugu worship there. I'm on the platform praying and God drops a message in my heart. And this has been the pattern since 1973 when I started preaching, that many times I'll get the message right before. Sometimes I can pray for days and weeks before a meeting and have nothing. And then when I stand up to preach, I get it. Sometimes it'll be on my heart 6 months before I go somewhere what I'm supposed to speak on. God drops in my heart from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, you have need to endure. You have need to endure. So once you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. endurance is essential for quality. We've been talking today about quality being more important than quantity, that everything we do is going to be tested by the fire, according to 1 Corinthians 3, that wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones will remain. What's the quality of our lives, the quality of the work that we are doing? Quantity is important, but only if it's based on quality. What's the use of getting water to millions of people if the water is polluted? What's the use of getting food to millions of people if the food's going to kill them? Obviously, there has to be a union of quality for the quantity to make sense and matter. But with that, endurance is important. Staying faithful to the end. There are numerous encouragements in Hebrews to endure because the Jewish community there was under persecution, the Jewish believers, and there was pressure to revert to their old ways of life and to their old beliefs. And for all of us, we can start well, but what's the use of it if we don't finish well? When we lived in St. James, which is north shore of Long Island, and our kids were little, one day I found out that the school needed some parents to help serve as refs in certain events. It was a kid's field day, and it was a day where I wasn't teaching, and I was able to be there. So went with our daughters, and our older daughter, Jen, they're both real little then, Jen and Meg. Jen was really athletic then, very, very fast, and just good athletically in general. So they had these competitions. Remember, it's little kids. And there was like a 50-yard dash or something like that. And she won that. She came in first. Jen, come on. Way to go. Beat all the other girls. And then there was some other race. I think it's a three-legged race or something where someone holds your feet. Is that it? Someone holds your feet and you know, you use your hands and they run. And she barely came in. I was supposed to be the ref, but I'm like, come on, Jen, come on. The other parents looked at me like, sorry, I'm supposed to be the ref here. But she won. She came in first with that. And then, the end of the day, they had this long run. I don't know, was it a quarter of a mile, half a mile? I remember these little kids. You had to go all the way around the track, and was it once or twice? I don't remember. But I told her, I said, listen, Jen, this is different than the other races. This is different. This is a long one. You got to start slow. Start slow, okay? And then just kind of, as you get on a little further, you get closer to the end, that's when you really try to run fast. Well, she starts off and goes right to the front of the pack because she's enthusiastic. She's a little kid. She had the energy to win these other things. And I thought, oh, no, Jen, you're going to fade fast. But I thought, hey, that's my daughter. Maybe she can do it. Maybe she'll just. So anyway, she starts fast, the exact opposite of what I told her. And leads the way for a little while, then the other kids start to catch her, and next thing, they all pass her. And she comes in way towards the end of the pack. What's the use of starting fast if we're not going to finish well? What, you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to finish. I'm going to start fast today. Well, how about building and living in such a way that what we do will endure the testing, that what we do will not be like some tall building that when it shakes a little comes down because there's no depth of foundation. Quality more important than quantity. I want to share a few other important insights, some other things that we talked about in India. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll also give you some of the comments we're getting online in terms of our little survey of which day of the week of programming do you prefer most on the Line of Fire. We've got a great special offer this week. My two books, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? And It's Time to Rock the Boat, Call to God's People to Rise Up and Preach a Confrontational Gospel. Those two books together, all right, they come two in one volume. And the entire teaching series of Pat Mahoney, lively, challenging, inspiring, confronting Congress, the media, with the gospel. You'll love this stuff. Trust me. Together, all of them for just $25, and we'll pay the postage. So it's a good saving, and it's a great resource. 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I have a great report. I have a terrific report. My brain is still functioning. Still functioning clearly. Got home a little less than 24 hours ago from India. The last part of the journey was 28 hours. We had made the first flight from Vishakhapatnam into Mumbai, into Bombay the day before, and then had day and a half almost to chill there in Mumbai and then head back. When I say we, my colleague Dr. Rod Thompson, medical doctor, came along with me, was able to do medical clinic for the kids in the children's home there and even perform surgery on one of them. In fact, a neat little story about that I'll tell you in a moment. And he's put together, he's also a videographer, amateur videographer, just a hobby of his, but using the best software and equipment and everything. So he's put together, edited down about 3 hours of footage that he has into a 9.5-minute video we'll get to make available to you one of these days as soon as we get it. So just back. You get a little jet lagged. If you've ever traveled internationally, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, do it, and then come and do radio a few hours later, all right? But mind is clear, working well. I've got my name right, station right, phone numbers right so far. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Thank you to all of you who prayed for me when I was in India. It was the 18th trip there. Every trip is so important, and we're so pleased by the reports of people being ministered to and lives being impacted, especially the leaders there and how they were impacted. I'm so grateful for your prayers, those that were able to contribute financially. Thank you so much. You really do make a difference as you stand with us. Those of you who listen to the broadcast from India, thanks for being part of our history together. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I asked a question there on Facebook, which was this. Just a little survey I've been doing. If you listen regularly to The Line of Fire, which day of the week do you enjoy the most? Is there one day of the week you enjoy more than others? Monday or musings on Monday where we catch up on what's happened over the weekend or weigh in with whatever issues on our heart. Tuesday, our more practical teaching day, opening up the word, doctrine, theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesday, we focus on the world, moral and cultural issues. Thursday, our thoroughly Jewish day of the week. Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. We've had folks that have been weighing in on Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. If you'd like to weigh in with a phone call, by all means, 866-34-TRUTH. If you don't want to come on the air, just tell Andrew, who takes your calls, that which day of the week it is, or is it the variety that you appreciate? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'm in India with Dr. Thompson, my friend Rod. He has checked out the kids in the children's home, the orphanage children's home there in India. And one of the girls has a hole in her foot. It's causing her pain, difficulty to walk. He has real concerns, just like this cavity in her foot. He has concerns that unless the thing is worked on, that she's going to have some real problems as she gets older, real problems with walking and things like that. So he is going to do surgery on her. Now, he's done all these things. He's not experimenting. But the problem is, he didn't have reading glasses with him. And even though he had LASIK surgery years back, as in his early 50s now, he needs reading glasses. He assumed that at the hospital, the ministry hospital there, they have a small one and working on building a larger one, that they would have these goggles that you put on, and with these goggles, they're magnifiers. Well, didn't have that. Maybe a magnifying glass. Someone just holds a magnifying glass. No, they didn't have that. So he says, well, let's just see what we can work with at the hospital. If he can do it comfortably, he will. If not, he won't. As he gets to the hospital, there's an older woman who's a nurse there wearing glasses. And he said, hey, just out of curiosity, can I try on your glasses? They were the perfect prescription for him. And he performed surgeries, like an hour and a half surgery on this little girl. Just a neat little story. All right, we come back. I'm going to talk about what matters most long term in our lives. Stay with us.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, programming note. Mentioned this in the first half hour. I want to repeat it now for all of you joining us for the last half hour of the broadcast. This coming Thursday, day after tomorrow, I'll be interviewing my friend Jeff Cohen, Messianic Jewish leader, with a wonderful testimony and a wonderful grace to win Jewish people to the Lord, talking about the most effective tools for Jewish evangelism that he's seen through the years. Monday, December 19th, our annual Christmas debate, which is all caller-generated. Well, you don't want to hear from me on that one. I'm just going to be moderating the calls. Should we celebrate Christmas or not? Is this a wonderful, godly, Jesus-glorifying thing to do, or a compromise with the world, even paganism? Is it different for Jewish believers or Gentile believers? That'll be our debate. So get ready. Get ready with your best points. That'll be our debate on Monday. And then next Tuesday, in fact, for my entire 2 hours on the air, Professor Craig Keener will be with me. I can't believe he's taken 2 hours out of his schedule. Dear friend, loves the Lord, humble man, and one of the world's most brilliant New Testament scholars. We're going to be talking about his book, Miracles. So that's coming within the next week, all here on the Line of Fire. If you could do your life over again, up to now, maybe you're 50 listening to me, maybe you're 80, maybe you're 20. But if you could do your life over again, as I interviewed one guest a few weeks ago, hit the reset button on your life and do things differently within the conscious knowledge that you had during that time, what would you do differently? Now, look, I was a heavy drug user for 2 years before I got saved. But I didn't have knowledge in the Lord. I was not a believer to say, well, I should have done this, I could have done this. I don't mean on that level. Maybe you didn't get saved till you were 40. You would have gotten saved till you're 20. I'm talking about since you've been a believer, since you've known the Lord, if you could press a reset button and do things differently, what would you do differently? I imagine that for many of us, we'd look at lots of time that we wasted on trivial things. We'd look at lots of subpar choices that we made in terms of choosing the good or even the bad rather than the best. Imagine we'd look at areas of compromise in our lives where we sinned against the Lord or others and wish that we didn't walk that way or yield to a particular temptation. Perhaps for some of us, we'd look at all the activity, all the busyness with very little to show for it. And I've been sharing over the broadcast today some teaching I did in India, the very first session with leaders there from 1 Corinthians 3, that the fire will test the quality of the work, what sort it is. And based on that, I made a few points, starting with quality is more important than quantity. Quantity matters because we're talking about people. Each person matters to God, but quality is more important than quantity. Better to have a cure for cancer that really works, even if it can only touch a few people at a time while you're learning how to mass produce it, than to mass produce something that doesn't work. I've often used this analogy. A scientist, cancer researcher, develops a cure for cancer, but it has some quirky sides to it. It has to be taken in a pill form. This is all bogus, okay? This is no scientific analogy being used here. I'm just making a point. So there's no reason it would have to be a pill. I understand. I understand that. I understand that. I'm just making a point. So the only way to ingest this, it has to be by pill form, all right? And the pill is massive. It is so big that you almost choke getting it down. That's the first thing. The second thing is, once you take it, it leaves a horrific bitter taste in your mouth for one full week. And then it's $1 million per pill. But one pill, guaranteed, cure cancer for life. So the research and development people come back to the scientists and say, this is amazing. This is one of the greatest discoveries in scientific history, medical history. Problem is, it's not going to sell. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I know. I know. You see, well, I'm just using an analogy, so don't jump on me about an imperfect analogy. So the research and development people say, okay, Here's what you need to do. You need to make the pill small, and it needs to be easy to swallow. That's the first thing, like a gel cap kind of thing. Secondly, either no taste or a sweet taste. But this bitter taste thing for a week is just, it's not going to work. And thirdly, it's too expensive, even though it works. Get it down to $1,000 a pill, and this thing will go around the world. Well, after a year of very, very, very hard work, the scientist comes back, says, okay, I've done it. I've got the pill down. It's actually a very, very easy to swallow gel cap. And it actually has a sweet taste when you take it and an aftertaste. And $1,000 a pill. Only one catch. It doesn't really cure cancer anymore. That's what we often do with our lives. That's what we often do with the gospel. We water things down to make them palatable to more. We water ourselves down to make us palatable to more people. We compromise certain convictions for the sake of our companions to be more likable and be more accepted. And in the process, what we do doesn't last. And in the process, what we're doing to help other people doesn't really help them. So what's the use of all of it? To what purpose? Quality is more important than quantity. It's the first point I made in India. Second, build to last. If you're going to do something, build in such a way that it will last. Not for a day, not for a week, not even for this lifetime, but forever. That it'll withstand the test of fire. Thirdly, develop deep and lasting relationships. Can I say to you, if you are a leader in the body, that you need this as much as anyone, if maybe even more, that this loner thing that some of us have, this untouchable thing that some of us have, this isolationism that some of us have, it can be very destructive in many ways because of what friendships bring to us, what we bring to friendships, and because in the critical moments, those who are closest to you and that you've poured into the most and that have poured into you are the most important. Develop deep, lasting relationships. Let me say that again. Develop them. They take time to cultivate. They take certain sacrifice. You say, I don't have any friends. Well, you know the old adage, you want a friend, be a friend. In beginning your own marriage, if you're married, beginning with those that you work with most closely, peers, and others on another level, that in different parts of the world, you can still develop these relationships. Develop deep relationships. If you want what you do to endure, if you want what you do to bear much fruit, if you want what to do to stand the test of time, there has to be depth to it. And ultimately, everything in our lives comes down to relationship with God and relationship with others. I don't mean if you're a pastor that you're supposed to be best buddies with every person in your congregation. I'm not saying that. But you have to look at your life and say, do I have any real, deep, true friendships with others? Yesu Padam and I are dear friends. And he said publicly that he has no question that I'd lay my life down for him and he'd lay his life down for me. I know the depth of his loyalty. I know if I had a need and he had to get on a plane, leave other meetings. If he was speaking at the biggest meetings of his life, and I said, brother, I'm having an urgent life and death situation, and I need you here, or I'm not going to make it, that he would cancel what he was doing and fly around the world to be there. I have other very close friends, not a lot, but here in the States where I feel that commitment is as deep on both sides. And you know, it's an awesome thing because we're all going to go through times of testing. We're all going to go through hellish times. We're going to have needs. And there are others that are going to have needs and go through hellish times. And that's where friendship really stands. Doesn't Proverbs say better true friend than just a massive amount of acquaintances, or better a true friend than even a blood relative where there's not really that solid relationship? Develop deep relationships. If there's been a theme that's come through in the hour and a half prior to this half hour now, it's depth. Depth takes time. the tree that you see that survived the hurricane, survived the storm, it's not just because it's such a thick tree. It survived because of its root system. The roots went down deep, and the roots spread out wide. How deep are our roots? And the last thing I told these pastors and leaders in India is who you are is more important than what you do. Who you are is more important than what you do. One man said he once had a dream, and he was standing before the Lord to give account, and he was about to say to the Lord, I sacrificed this, I sacrificed this, I never married for the gospel, I live like this, I live like that. And the Lord said to him, get a little closer to me. I want to see how much you look like my son. And he woke up in a cold sweat. We'll be back. Change the world. Change the world.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to share one illustration with you. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to join the conversation. Then I want to tell you some of the survey results to the question I asked earlier today about if you've been a regular listener to the Line of Fire, which day of the week you prefer the most. Yeah, Andrew, the tallies that you got from folks that called in weren't on, didn't want to come on the air, just post those for me as well so I can know. But I'll come back to that in a moment. And I find it very interesting in terms of the responses for a reason I'll also get to in a moment. But I've often used this illustration. How long is the gestation period of a mouse? How long is it? Like 3 weeks or something? I mean, it's mega short. Mr. and Mrs. Mouse come together, conception, gestation, delivery, it's like 3 weeks or something. And then what's boys are real little, I mean, mice are small enough, but you're a real tiny little cringe baby mouse. And then how long does that thing live? If it can avoid the poison and the predators, and so how's it live? A couple years? And then it's got an elephant. Mr. and Mrs. Elephant come together, it's what, 22 months, I think? You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's somewhere close to 2 years. Moms, think of a two-year pregnancy. And then when the elephant's born, how many hundreds of pounds does it weigh? It weighs more than any of us. And it's out, and it's walking. And then how long does an elephant live? 70, 80 years, right? A lot of us, we want to have Mighty Mouse ministries, Mighty Mouse blessings. We want to have it now. We want to have it all now. We want to get it quick. And you know what? It's going to go just as quickly. And it's going to be just as small. That's just the way it is. There are no overnight sensations in the kingdom of God. God may raise someone up overnight into the public view, but unless the roots are down deep and the private life is down deep, that thing will crumble quickly, or if it continues, will only continue superficially. It's not how much we're doing, but how deep we are. Oh, I don't mean philosophically deep. I'm very deep in the truths of the Word of God. I'm talking about quality of depth in our life in God, depth of roots in our life in God. How deep are we? Who are we really? Do you want Mighty Mouse blessing, Mighty Mouse ministry, Mighty Mouse excitement, or do you want something that's going to last? Yeah, that elephant may plod along, but that thing's not particularly afraid of predators, and that thing's not particularly afraid of, got to do it in a hurry, got to get this pregnancy over in a hurry. So no, it takes time, but what's produced is large and lasting. Now, folks calling in, those that did call and just noted some of their responses and they didn't come on the air. Let's see. Well, that's interesting. Okay, Friday had the most votes. Friday had the most, which is you've got questions, we've got answers. Then Monday and Wednesday were tied, Monday's musings and Wednesday focus on the world. And then last were Tuesday and Thursday. Now, the online response, I think the number one was Thursday or Friday. And the least responses I got were for Wednesday. Now, what's most interesting is that I get more emails from people about what we talk about on Wednesday than any other day. So when I'm just looking at my Facebook page, I don't know, I got maybe just a dozen responses of people who just posted, or I don't know, maybe 20 or something. I'm looking at a couple of places, just a few responses. Mary said Thursday, first, Friday, second. Terrell, I enjoy Thursday and Friday. Welcome back. Thanks, man. Thank you, Terrell. I appreciate that. Grace, honestly, of every day and the variety of it all. And we hear that from a lot, the variety. Okay, but if I had to pick one day, it'd be Friday. And then Tess, enjoy them every day that she can listen. But if she had to pick one day, Monday. Then Summer, Thursdays, the early Jewish Thursday, Tuesday, teaching emphasis, Friday, you had questions we've been answered, are my favorite, though I love them all. Cami, variety. Chris, whatever day when you discuss issues relating to Israel, which is especially on Thursdays. Gabby, I enjoy the show the most on Tuesdays and Fridays. But thank you. Love listening every day. I appreciate that, man. Very much appreciate that. Gabby, not ma'am, but I, not ma'am versus sir. James, definitely Thursday, Jewish, Israel-related topics. Jeff, absolutely without a second thought, Friday. So it's interesting just from these, and there are others. What's interesting, and I'm saying this for a reason. I'm not just giving you survey results. What's interesting to me is that out of those responding, no one said Wednesday, which we focus on moral cultural issues, focus on the world. And yet, I consistently get emails forwarded to me from listeners, from people listening on the radio daily, listening online, and then reading columns and things we've stood for, that consistently, more than anything else, are appreciating the stands that we take on Wednesdays. Now, it may just be that if we survey thousands of people, that it'll pan out, and that, you know, each day has people that really listen, or maybe one day of the week is more popular than others, or it's the variety of it, okay? So I'm not basing anything on, you know, 20-something online responses and whatever calls we had. Just, you know, it's just, I ask the question, if we get a few hundred or thousand responses, then I have a better idea. And I have no idea if, when I ask the question, if even three people would respond, because I don't normally do surveys like this. But out of all of what we know, the thousands and thousands of listeners, it's fascinating to me that if this held true, if some of the other days of the week were, quote, more popular, it's interesting to me that I get the most private notes, so just during the show today, notes coming in about the content that we cover on Wednesday. And this, by the way, when I say notes coming in, it was unrelated to me asking this question. It just so happened that they came in. So sometimes what may be, and to me, every day is important. Every day of the week is important. I'm not choosing Jewish ministry at the expense of revival. I'm not choosing revival at the expense of teaching the word. I'm not exchanging teaching the word at the expense of confronting the culture. But what's so interesting to me is what may not be the most popular is sometimes the most necessary. What may not be the thing that gets the most excitement may be the thing that is most critically important. So we need to weigh our lives, determined to bear fruit that will last. Great special offer this week, special resource. My two books, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat, two books in one, so it's a great deal to start, plus 6 hours of teaching by my colleague Pat Mahoney. Oh, it'll light up your room, trust me, on confronting Congress, culture, the media with the gospel. That's only $25 for that series on CD. Get that and the book, and we'll pay the postage. It's $25 for everything. Great deal, and it'll bless you and stir you. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, Jesus told his disciples that he had chosen them and he had ordained them. Why? So they could bear fruit, and they could bear fruit that would remain. That would be to the glory of the Father. How much lasting fruit are you and I bearing? That's the big question.